Those in Washington release Afghanistan's central bank assets in the American banks.
Well, I don't really believe, that the U.S. is trying to do all this to ease the suffering of the Afghan people. The U.S. is always caught in the dilemma of, pursuing their big power interests, which they define very widely, often to the detriment of the national interests of other countries. And also, trying to sort of harmonize it with the humanitarian considerations that one expects of a democracy. So the U.S. is always caught in this kind of a dilemma. But here I would imagine that the U.S. there is a lot of optics involved, that the U.S. is trying to send humanitarian aid to a country which needs it, and where a lot of problems that the country now faces is because of the conflict in which the U.S. was embroiled directly. Yeah, first in backing the Mujahideen effort against the Soviet Union, and then sort of fight against terror. But the point here is one needs to figure out is whether the U.S. is doing it for humanitarian consideration, or whether it is trying to regain some kind of a diplomatic presence in Afghanistan, which is not available to them at the moment since their military pullout. So that's more possible than pure humanitarian consideration.
On that note, I would like to thank Mr. Subir Bhowmick for his precious time and insight. Now, let's see what people have been saying on social media.
A social activist argues Washington's freezing foreign assets is robbing the nation's wealth. Rahmatullah is a senior planning and reporting specialist at UNESCO. He criticizes the situation despite the US aid and other international aids. An NGO says it is hypocrisy to claim $308 million in US aid will go to the people, as the U.S. is seeking to retain presence through NGO networks.
And that was our episode covering India's Nagaland affairs and the U.S. war on Afghans. We will meet again next week. Till then, take care.
In the limelight.
As the COVID-19 pandemic upended the economy in the spring and summer of 2020, tens of millions of Americans lost their jobs and became ever more vulnerable to hunger. In consequence, the country's network of food banks saw a sudden spike in surge. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Sasha Bromsky, journalist. This article is published under the heading, U.S. Food Insecurity is Much Higher Than Before COVID. As the COVID pandemic upended the economy in the spring and summer of 2020, tens of millions of Americans lost their jobs and became ever more vulnerable to hunger. In consequence, the country's network of food banks saw a sudden spike in usage. Just prior to and at the start of the pandemic, food banks distributed 1.1 billion pounds of food in the first quarter of 2020. By the fall of that year, they were handing out 1.7 billion pounds. Since then, that dizzying increase has leveled off or fallen somewhat in many places. But that doesn't mean the country is no longer suffering an epidemic of food insecurity. security. To the contrary, large food banks around the country are still reporting far higher levels of food and of food distribution to attempt to meet that need than was the case prior to COVID. In Washington, D.C., for example, the big food banks are reporting an increase in usage of more than 60% compared to 2019. Put simply, as Thanksgiving rolls around again, millions of Americans are struggling to feed their families the bare minimum on a daily basis. If they are able to have a bigger spread, it will likely be only thanks to food charities and their volunteers and donors. Meanwhile, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, enrollment is up by 7 million compared to 2 years ago, with more than 42 million Americans now on food stamps. Of these, more than 4 in 10 are members of families with at least one person working. Throughout much of the South, upward of 15% of residents receive SNAP assistance. In New Mexico, the state with the highest rate of food stamp usage in the country, more than 1 in 5 residents are enrolled in SNAP. Looked at one way, these numbers and the resilience of SNAP in the face of long-standing conservative antipathy to the program are success stories. Tens of millions of Americans do not have enough economic security to easily feed themselves and their families. But thankfully, the country does not have an epidemic of starvation. Instead, its charitable networks have gone into overdrive, and a food distribution mechanism has been fine-tuned to keep hunger at bay for the vast majority of recipients. At the same time, SNAP has become the de facto story of an otherwise withered social safety net. Looked at another way, however, these numbers are a devastating indictment of the current U.S. economic model. In the world's richest country, with more billionaires than anywhere else on Earth, a large percentage of the population lacks the ability to set aside the financial resources to be able to easily feed themselves and their children. Instead, they have to fall back either on charity or on government assistance. Many people who rely on food aid have jobs, just not jobs that pay enough of a living wage to allow them to buy food for their families. In the South in particular, where in few places does the local minimum wage exceed the federal minimum of $7.25 per hour, less than half what it is in cities and states that moved toward the $15 per hour living wage in recent years, the scandal of food insecurity for the working poor remains omnipresent. This is a crisis in the United States, magnified, though by no means created, by the pandemic, not of food production failures, but of a skyrocketing inequality. There is clearly no shortage of food in the U.S., but there is a shortage of disposable income among a growing percentage of people at the bottom of the economy. Americans have, as a society, become inured to the stunning realities of families experiencing shortages of food amid a broader glut of staples. As the U.S. gears up to celebrate a holiday that for many people revolves around copious feasting with family and friends, that crisis has been exacerbated months of high inflation, especially in key sectors of the economy such as fuel and food. Some meats have increased in prices by nearly 10% this past year. More worryingly, this summer, in several food categories, such as eggs, prices began escalating by 3% per month. If that continues for a significant period of time, it will have massive impacts on the purchasing power of poor Americans, who already spend a vastly disproportionate part of their limited income on food. While the average amount of disposable personal income that Americans spend on food for preparing at home declined from 13.7% in 1960 to 5.7% in 2000, as incomes rose and as food costs declined, this has never held for poor Americans. In fact, the U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates from 5 years ago found that the poorest quintile of Americans were still spending between 28 and 42% of their pre-tax income on food. Given that low-income Americans are also being particularly hard hit by surges in prices for housing, fuel, and a range of consumer goods such as used cars, the inflationary trends with the food industry threaten to render their economic tightrope walk even more dangerous. As a result, even as the overall unemployment rate has returned to near pre-pandemic levels, with latest Bureau of Labor Statistics data showing 4.6% unemployment, even as overall poverty rates have gone down to nearly historically low levels due to huge levels of government intervention in the economy, food insecurity remains prevalent in the United States of America.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asl zinde ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Stay tuned.
الله یجعل للشیطان علی انفسهم سبیلا. اولین درخواست من امام رضا از شما اینه نذارید.
امام رضا علیه السلام, the eighth Shia infallible imam, in a beautiful hadith asks people not to let Satan find mastery over them. This sentence means not to open any way for Satan to enter your soul. Satan deceives people in their own ways. For instance, Satan does not deceive an old man through sexual pleasure. Instead, Satan will go to youth to trap them in sexual pleasures. Or, for example, Satan does not invite a chaste woman to adultery or prostitution. Instead, Satan invites her to do backbiting. Satan cannot deceive a faithful person by inviting him or her to drink alcohol.
گفت منظر آیت الله عظمای بروجردیه, کسی رفته بود منبر, همم علما نشسته بودن.
In a story we read that once there was a ceremony at the house of great Ayatollah Burujerdi in the city of Qom. The Sheikh on Minbar started talking about the impacts of drinking alcohol. Now all the audience were pious people who never had experienced drinking. One of them, in a joking way, stated, "The Ayatollah will stop drinking alcohol. That's enough." This means that Satan will not start deceiving an Ayatollah by drinking alcohol. He will enter through a different way. However, Satan can deceive scholars and learned men by arrogance and boast. Or Satan can deceive the youths by making them lazy at the time of morning prayer. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
food for thought.
Hello everyone. On the threshold of the birthday anniversary of the Command of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the first infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, let us contemplate on a brief but bright aphorism from him. People perish due to two things: fear of poverty and seeking of pride.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A miniature bull in Germany's Bavaria is proving that size does not matter, as the small bovine makes himself comfortable in his new herd at an animal sanctuary. This tiny bull had a lucky escape and was rescued from a farmer who was taking him to a slaughterhouse. The mini cow is named Napoleon and was born with a genetic defect. Just 8 months old, the diminutive bull has already reached his full size. Napoleon might be small, but he is mighty and daring, as he is not afraid of joining a herd consisting of big and huge animals.
Napoleon belongs to the Dexter breed, which produces rather small cattle anyway. They grow up to be about 1.2 meters. With his 80 centimeters, he's of course far below that. Despite his size, he feels like a complete bull and is in a good mood. He has settled in with us very quickly, which we are very happy about. He also has a lively effect on the herd.
The little bovine now lives with 100 other rescued livestock. His rescuers say he gets along with other animals and has already become friendly with another rescued cow. The Dexter is a breed of cattle first originated in Ireland. They are usually bred for high-quality meat and milk. An Indonesian man frees a crocodile of a tire that was stuck around its neck some 6 years ago. Tilly, a self-taught rescuer and resident of central Sulawesi province, captured the reptile and cut the tire using a small saw with the help of some locals. The animal had been too smart to be trapped. Tilly says he had been tracking the reptile for weeks using a basic trap with a rope tied to a log. He used live chickens and dogs as bait to lure the reptile. The crocodile drew the sympathy of local residents who worried the tire would choke as it grows in size. Tilly says his main motive was to help animals, claiming it was not his first experience dealing with a crocodile.
Biologists in Peru release two birds back to their natural habitat after weeks of efforts to attend and conserve dozens of animals affected by an oil spill. Two birds were among some 200 animals found dehydrated and were brought to a veterinary hospital for treatment. Veterinarians, biologists, and volunteers have been leading the cleanup operation of the affected coast close to the capital, Lima. So far, several species have been released after rehabilitation. An oil tanker off the coast of Peru was hit by waves triggered by a volcanic eruption miles away in Tonga in January. Some 6,000 barrels of oil spilled into the ocean that polluted waters and beaches along Peru's Pacific coast.
There are all sorts of peculiar restaurants around the world, but not so many prison-themed eateries. One of them is in the Iranian capital, Tehran, and it is thriving.
The setting is engaging. If we want to suggest it to someone, it's because of the setting too. It's like a cell, both its title and the story of the owners. They wrote here they were inmates themselves and why they were in jail.
Cell 16 serves its customers in cells where they can wear mock prison uniforms. The owners say they got the idea for their diner while they were behind bars for debt. They say they are now open to help newly released inmates who find it hard to get employed and give out part of their proceeds to pay for debt inmates.
There have been several cases where an inmate came and worked here while on leave, and we helped and offered him money to help his problem.
The eatery was opened in 2016. The owners have now expanded their business and own two diners in Tehran and another in the central city of Isfahan. They say they are using their emerging restaurant chain to raise funds to free convicts who are serving time for unpaid debts.
A German man has claimed a new Guinness World Record in hula hooping. Kia Sandmeier set a new record for the longest duration of hula hooping in a plank position. He was able to carry the activity in this difficult pose for over 6 minutes. The 30-year-old says he practiced the plank rigorously in the morning and evenings before and after work. Sandmeier says holding the plank was the most difficult part. The previous record for this activity was set last year by an American with just over 3 minutes. Every year, the Copenhagen Light Festival transformed the winter cold and darkness of the capital city into a celebration of light art in Denmark. In February, the entire city becomes the stage displaying captivating lighting installations presented by Danish and international artists. The works are planted at more than 30 historical sites, canals, and squares, among other urban spaces. Building facades are also decorated with special lighting designs. The organizers and curators of the festival say the event is important because it gives people a chance to rediscover their own city. Also, the event brings life to a dark season that's normally very quiet by offering joyful experiences for locals and tourists alike.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
As the 2022 Winter Olympics have begun in the Chinese capital, Beijing, two playful giant pandas at the Moscow Zoo have come to the spotlight for predicting the outcome of the sports event. On the eve of the Winter Olympics opening, Ru Yi and Ding Ding were each offered five traffic cones labeled with national flags of the participating countries, represented by the largest numbers of athletes. The cones that got taken down by them were considered as the winners. The pandas then chose the cones with Chinese and German flags on them. Zoo officials say no treats were placed inside the cones to ensure that the prediction is unbiased. The zoo says it plans to continue the panda prediction for all individual and team competitions at the Games. The 15th edition of the Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has wrapped up. As Salman Khujuri reports, Iran ranks first globally for the number of cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council. Here's more.
The 15th Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has wrapped up its work. The four-day event brought together representatives of different sectors active in tourism and handicrafts fields, including airlines, cruise lines, hotels, museums, travel agencies, insurance services, travel and tourism facilities, and masters of handicrafts. The exhibition is considered as the most appropriate platform to optimize face-to-face communication among the involved industries. From a tourism point of view, Iran enjoys two important and unique features. The first one is Iran's exceptional geographical location among countries in the world, and the second feature is its tourism attractions of historical, cultural, natural, pilgrimage, adventurous, and other sorts.
Qalamzan, or metal engraving, is an Iranian ancient metalwork art. It is engraved by chisels and hammers on different metals such as gold, silver, copper, brass, and some alloys. Its origin dates back to almost 7,000 years ago. It is the art of carving superb designs on various metals. The artistic work of this course made by the artists are the glorious and undeniable indication of previous metal work of Iran, and in particular Isfahan.
I'm from Hormozgan province, south of Iran. Handicrafts have always been an integral part of Hormozgan province due to the rich culture and special customs of the region. Hormozgan province embraces scenic islands, among which Kish, Hormoz, Hengam, and Qeshm are the most beautiful ones and top tourist destinations in southern Iran.
Iran has globally registered 11 cities and 3 villages under their native handicrafts during the past 6 years, making the country a world leader in registering local productions. There are totally 602 handicrafts fields identified on a global scale. 299 fields are special to Iran, from which 199 fields are in the central Iranian province of Isfahan.
With 14 entries, Iran ranks first globally for the number of cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council, as China, with 7 entries, Chile with 4 entries, and India with 3 ones, come next. Salman Khujuri, Tehran.
The joyous festive mood in East Asia as the region welcomes the Lunar New Year with celebrations, including light and lantern decorations of homes and public avenues. People across China are staging a variety of events to mark the New Year, also known as the Spring Festival. Several cities have held breathtaking light shows, with many landmarks and skyscrapers dazzling with colorful images. In the capital, Beijing, the light shows feature elements of the Winter Olympics as the city is getting ready to host the International Games this week. Elsewhere, Malaysians welcome the Year of the Tiger with an underwater lion dance performance in an aquarium in the capital, Kuala Lumpur. The citizens have welcomed the return of the annual event, which had been called off the previous year due to COVID-19 restrictions.
A lot happier as compared to during the lockdown period where you're alone and you do things alone. You feel very lonely, right? Now that you get to be in touch with your family, yeah, it's a lot better.
Even though we still keep a social distance, but however, I feel the freedom to go out and visit and do the things that I like to do.
Celebrations are also underway in Hong Kong, Taiwan and Indonesia. The Lunar New Year, seen as a time of reunion and rebirth, is celebrated by more than 2 billion people worldwide, especially amongst Asian communities. The festivities last for over a fortnight.
Stunning light shows and hanging lanterns have illuminated cities across China to welcome the new lunar year, also called the Spring Festival. The city of Zigong has taken the spotlight with a sea of lanterns, turning it into a scene straight out of a fairy tale. The city is famous for lantern making and brings a festive mood this time around every year. The lanterns are usually made in all kinds and shapes, including legendary creatures representing each lunar year on the Chinese calendar. This year's zodiac is the tiger, which is decorated vividly on special couplets. The New Year festivities officially begin on Tuesday and will continue for 15 days. The Lunar New Year is considered the largest migration of people in the world, as millions travel back to their towns and villages to mark the event.
Sub-zero temperatures in the Midwestern U.S. haven't held anglers back from participating in the world's largest charitable ice fishing contest. Some 10,000 people from across the world gathered in the state of Minnesota to put their ice fishing skills to test. They dug thousands of holes in Gull Lake in a matter of hours. Some $200,000 in prizes were up for grabs in the contest. The volunteer-led annual event has so far raised about $4 million for 67 charities since it was first held in 1991. Beryl Carr is a special volunteer at a hospital in London. What makes her special, you might wonder? Well, the fact that she celebrated her 100th birthday last month. Carr has been volunteering in Ealing Hospital for more than 18 years. She works in the hospital's cafe and says her work is her lifeline. This incredible 100-year-old lady says she enjoys helping those who are not as fortunate as she is and that she has no intentions of retiring. The hospital staff say her presence has been very motivating.
Many of us look at her. She's always got a smile on her face, a swagger as she walks. And you come back from a clinic or a ward round, you're absolutely tired, and she just inspires you as soon as you see her.
Even the coronavirus pandemic has not stopped Carr from volunteering. Born in a nearby town, Carr says she moved back to the neighborhood more than two decades ago after the death of her husband. When asked about the secret to her long and healthy life, she refused to answer, saying she's not planning on revealing that secret.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's Special for You. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Inshallah, all of you are doing well. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, which you are listening to. Today, we're going to speak about imamology.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan.
Today, Monday, is the 12th of Rajab, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of February, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Furqan, verses 73 to 74 of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا.
And those who, when reminded of the verses of their Lord, do not fall upon them deaf and blind.
والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما.
And those who say, Our Lord, grant us from among our wives and offspring comfort to our eyes, and make us an example for the righteous.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Yes, they are special servants of Allah, and as the general mercy of Allah includes all people, the mercy of servants of Allah is, from some aspects, general too. Their knowledge, speech, thought, power, and riding all function for guiding people to the path of the truth. They are paragons and examples of the humane society. They are counted as examples for pious persons. They are like guiding lights and lamps in deserts and seas, which call those who are lost to them and save them from falling down and sinking.
Allahumma salli ala
What is imamate? Imam means leader, leader of the Muslims. In the principles of the belief of the Shiites, an immaculate or pure imam refers to a person who is the successor to the Holy Prophet in all areas, with the difference that the Holy Prophet is the founder of the school and the imam is the guardian and preserver of it. Revelation was revealed to the Holy Prophet, but not to the Imams. They learned from the Holy Prophet, and they had an extraordinary knowledge. From the point of view of Shiism, an immaculate Imam does not just mean leader of the Islamic rule, but rather includes spiritual and material, internal and external leadership as well. In other words, they are responsible for leadership on all levels. They are responsible for the preservation and guardianship of Islamic beliefs and ideology without any errors or deviation, and they are the selected people of Allah. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the need for recognizing the infallible Imam. At the same time, in some ziyarat texts, especially in the Ziyarat Jami Kabire issued by the 10th infallible Imam, Ali al-Hadi alayhi salam, whoever intends to pay attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must start this intellectual journey from recognizing and confirming the righteousness of the infallible Imams. And whoever wants to pay attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should start from considering the infallible Imams first and foremost. The case of Imamate is very important in the Islamic religion because the Arch Prophet Abraham, according to the Holy Quran, was one of the important prophets, one of the major divine prophets who attained the post of Imamate. In the Holy Quran, this is asserted in this way: "Inni ja'iluka lin-nas imama." I've selected you as the Imam. And based on a piece of hadith from the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had two great responsibilities. First, he was the last divine prophet, and the other one was that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an imam. I mean, imam in the sense of, I mean, leading people, I mean, to the right way.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
On the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we follow the philosophy of the existence of the Imam, spiritual perfection along with divine leadership. Dear brother, dear sister, we must seek out the goal for the creation of human beings. Which is the highest creature of the world of creation? They take a way which is long and full of twists and turns towards Allah, towards perfection, towards spiritual perfection in all of the dimensions. Without doubt, this way cannot be taken, and the goal cannot be attained without the presence of a pure leader, and it is not possible to undertake this way without a leader who is a heavenly teacher, because it's a way full of darkness and the danger of becoming lost. It is clear that God created the human being with their own free will and choice and gave them a conscious and a heavy book and sent his prophets to them, but it is possible that the human being, in spite of all of these facilities and possibilities, err upon the way. Clearly, the presence of an infallible leader will help to prevent the danger of deviation, going astray to a great extent, and in this way, all existence of the Imam is necessary to complete the goal of the creation of human beings.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
We are so happy you are with today's special from IRIB English Radio. We'll listen to it under the topic of the conditions and spiritual qualities of the Imams, in this part, ethical and moral attraction. The Holy Quran says about the Holy Prophet in chapter 3, verse 159, "It is part of the mercy of Allah that you deal gently that you deal gently with them. Were you to be severe or harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from about thee. Not only the Holy Prophet, but the Imam and any leader of society is in need of goodness so that the people are magnetized towards him. Without doubt, any kind of harshness and evil intentions towards the people for the Prophet and the Imam is a great defect, and they are free from any such defect. Otherwise, many of the philosophies of existence would not be fulfilled.
As Sheikh al-Mufid states that all Imamis, or 12 or Shiites, are in agreement that it is necessary for there to be an Imam at all times, or a divine guide at all times, who may be taken as a proof by God before his creation, and that the Imam's existence results in the complete benefit of religion. In addition to divine grace, this notion is supported by the Quranic verse, quote, "For every nation or people there is a guide." Thus, the Imam functions as the divine guide, and there can never be a time on earth until the end of times without the existence of an Imam. Therefore, 12 Shiites have argued for the characteristics of the Imam as being similar to those of the prophets or the messenger. The only major difference is that the Imam does not receive divine revelations, or al-wahi, but acquires his knowledge through an intermediary, that is, immediately from the Prophet or Messenger himself, or from the preceding Imam, ultimately ending in the Prophet or Messenger. Thus, since the Imam's function is essentially the same as that of the Prophet, and he is considered his successor, the Imam is considered to possess the same qualifications or characteristics as the Prophet. That is to say, the Imam must, 1, be immune from all sins and error-free, ma'soom. Number 2, that he must be superior, al-afdal, in his knowledge and his virtues over the people of his time. And number 3, he must possess all noble virtues and no moral or physical defects. These characteristics must extend from the moment of his birth all the way until his death. Finally, the Imam must also be explicitly appointed by the Prophet or Messenger, or by his inerrant predecessor. That is to say, the Imam cannot be chosen by the people in the same way that the Prophet or the Messenger is not chosen by the people. Now, must the Imam necessarily be able to perform miracles like the Prophets? Here, there is a difference of opinion, with most 12 Shiite scholars suggesting that, while it is certainly possible that God may allow an Imam to perform a miracle, this is not necessary, since what is necessary and sufficient is the explicit appointment or designation, a nas, of the Imam by God through the Prophet. As their name suggests, 12 Shiites believe in the existence of 12 successive Imams after the Prophet Muhammad. The first Imam is Ali ibn Abi Talib, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, followed by his two sons, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, followed by 9 successive descendants from Al-Husayn, the 12th and last of which is Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Mahdi.
Time flies so fast. That is the end of this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we rejoin you on another episode and another interesting topic. Till then, have a nice time. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English Radio program.
Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.